Luke chapter 2. Well, of course it's Luke chapter 2. It's Christmas, right? Christmas is next Sunday. Y'all coming back next Sunday, I hope. Let's read a little bit in verse number 8. We'll save the first 7 verses for next week. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. It was lambing season. One of the things that we get in the argument regularly at this time of year is those who are in the know and like to debate will say that Jesus wasn't born in December. And I have to agree with them. He wasn't born in December. The 25th is the day we celebrate him. My birthday's in August, but any day you want to celebrate me, why not? So, and how many of you feel the same way about yours, right? So we celebrate December 25th. That's our tradition. The people will talk about where it came from. Okay, that's when we celebrate Christmas in this country. But he was born near Passover. And why is that significant? Well, as we look at this text and we see the shepherds, it becomes so much more significant if we understand the timing was near Passover, not now. They were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And I thought it was interesting, the shepherds. Why the shepherds? Why are they the focus of this text? And I thought about Jesus. You know, we studied just the other night in Isaiah how the Bible says that he would feed his people as a flock, as a shepherd feeds his flock. And in the book of Hebrews, the Bible calls him the great shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. In the book of John, it calls him the good shepherd. So Jesus is referred to as a shepherd not only in Isaiah, but also in Hebrews and also in John. So just that he is a shepherd is significant that we're talking about shepherds. But these shepherds were not just shepherds. They were Levitical shepherds. They were of the priestly tribe, and it was lambing season, right, when the babies are born. Now, what's significant about baby lambs being born? Well, because the sacrifice ordered by God in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament is that we are to offer to God the first male that is born, and it must be spotless, without blemish. And so these shepherds, as the mama lambs were out in the field, the shepherds were tasked not only with keeping the sheep, but also with when a lamb is born, to check that lamb and see if it's what? To see if it's a firstborn male. What if she has two? Which one do you pick? Well, the Bible said the first. And so these priests are tasked with taking that firstborn lamb that is born from each mama, each set, and that firstborn lamb would then be set aside, in fact, would be taken to the Tower of Migdal. How do we know that? The book of Micah says that's where we're going to be for the coming of Christ, that Jesus would be born at the Tower of Eder or Migdal, the Tower of the Flock. And so where is that? That's in Bethlehem. How do we know? Because Jacob lost his wife Rachel. And he buried Rachel there near the Tower of Migdal. And so that is where that is in Bethlehem. What else do we know happened significant in Bethlehem? Anybody? Ruth? Right? Boaz? Right? Ruth, Naomi, and Mahlon, Chilion, they came from Bethlehem. They returned. Right? Ruth and Naomi returned to Bethlehem. She meets up with Boaz. They get married, have some children. Obed, Jesse. All right, we're going down the line. King David. It is the city of David, Bethlehem. Jesus is of the house and lineage of David. Joseph is of the house and lineage of David. Though they had moved to Nazareth, they lived in Nazareth, they came back to be taxed because everybody had to be counted in the census. But this is that significant place where Boaz was, where the Tower of Migdal was. Well, what was significant about the Tower of the Flock? You see, when those Levitical shepherds would receive a lamb that was born, and he was a male, they would take that firstborn male to the Tower of Migdal, or to the caves there in the shepherd's field, and there in those places, in the stalls or mangers, there they would have the cloths all ready so they could wrap these newborn lambs in swaddling cloths and keep them in the stalls and protect them and hold them there, because that firstborn male lamb would be sacrificed at Passover a year later. And on this night, the firstborn Son of God was born. Significantly, as that baby was born, there was no room in the inn, and so they went to stay in a stall where they were already laid out for those firstborn lambs, what? Swaddling clothes. And they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. And these Levitical shepherds were out in the field watching those mama sheep to make sure that when they gave birth, they had a task, they had a job to do. They had to certify, this is the one. I'm a priest and I can sign off, right? I can certify this is the firstborn. That's their job, to certify the firstborn without blemish. And so who do we get to certify? The Lamb of God, born without spot. Well, the only ones that were qualified were the Levitical shepherds in the field. Isn't that incredible? Isn't God smart? He pulls all of this together, the place, the time of the year, the timing in history. The shepherds who were in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. Near Rachel's tomb, by the way, the Bible talks about Rachel's, you know, the children crying out and the children returning through that place. It was a significant place. And so these Levitical shepherds, they were the ones who were tasked with certifying the firstborn lamb born without blemish. We're in that field, and we've already seen that. Verse number 9, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You see, sometimes, unfortunately, in our work for God, these were priests. Right? Don't we expect people who work for God to kind of expect godly things to happen? We should always be looking for God to, you know, looking for the rapture, looking for the clouds to part, Jesus to come back and hear the trumpet. We should be looking for God's hand in everything, the healing of people's lives and the healing of people's hearts. And, you know, we should be looking for God to do great, magnanimous things. And they're out here keeping the sheep. They're just busy doing their job. And God did something so big they didn't know how to take it. They were scared. The Bible says they were sore afraid. Verse 10, the angel said to them, fear not. That always works, doesn't it? For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The message of Jesus is not a message for the church. The message of Jesus is for all. Everybody needs the Savior. And the good news of Christmas, whether we celebrate it in December or in April, the good news of Christ's birth is a message for everyone to hear. A message for everyone to receive. And it should be joy to all people. Verse 10, unto you is born this day in the city of David. That's Bethlehem. A baby, more than a baby. A boy, more than a boy. A Savior. More than a Savior. More than a Savior, you see, because He is Christ, the Lord. He's the one who's been promised from the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was a sacrifice that was made. Blood was shed. The clothes, the skins were taken off of those animals and put, or that animal, and placed on Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness and their shame and their humiliation to cover their sin. A sacrifice was made at Passover annually as the priest would enter in to the Holy of Holies and meet with God above the Ark of the Covenant. And there at the mercy seat, God would extend grace and forgiveness to cover their sins. How many of you ever had a sore spot or an injury and you wrapped it up to cover it? Anybody? Would you rather it be covered or gone? I'd rather it be gone. You see, all the way through the Old Testament, we covered. And then Jesus died on the cross and His blood was shed. And that blood that was shed didn't cover our sins anymore. That blood washed our sins away. You see, I don't walk around covering up my humiliation, covering up my shame, covering up my regret and my sin. I'm not trying to hide it from anybody. What I have done is I've gone to the throne of God and said, God, I put my confidence in Jesus Christ the Savior and ask You to forgive my sins through Jesus Christ. And He washed my sins away. I stand before You today without sin. You say, Pastor, you say you never sin? You never lose your temper, never say something in anger, never have hatred in your heart or whatever else you might think of. I'm here to tell you that if I do, when I turn to God and I ask God's forgiveness, He washes it away. Because we don't have to live in sin. We don't have to live in judgment. Jesus came to die for our sins, to forgive our sins. Now, yes, of course, as we grow in our faith and we grow in our walk with God, we hope that those sins are far removed from our daily walk and even far removed from our imagination so that we never think about doing anything wrong. But the truth is, as long as we live, we will fail, we will come short, and still God will forgive my sin. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad to be saved? Aren't you glad your sins are washed away? Aren't you glad when you stand before God, He's not going to say, you're a sinner and off you go to the lake of fire because you put your faith in Christ. The Levitical shepherds certified the firstborn male. And so He sends them, the angel sends them to the place, the city of David. And this shall be a sign unto you, verse 12. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Well, I'm going to tell you something. As a Levitical shepherd, I know where to go to find that. Isn't that incredible? It wasn't random. He didn't give them a GPS and say, this is the spot right here. I'll send it to your phone. He said, you're going to find them wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And so they knew exactly where to go. They knew exactly that the Tower of Migdal or thereabout that place would be the place to go to find this newborn Lamb of God. And suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass the angels were gone away. From them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, well, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, the city of David. There is no argument. And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, verse 16. And I ask you today, you're hearing the message of God. You see it in black and white. And you know that it's part of our history. You know that this happened, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus came to that place and they went with haste. Please don't wait. Don't even wait till we play the music at the end of the service. Right now, you know that you are a sinner and you know that God is merciful and you know that He sent Jesus to pay for your sin. Call out to Him now from your heart and say, God, forgive me. I put my faith in Christ. They went with haste. Verse 16, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They were able to certify it, weren't they? They were able to do their job. They were, look, you say, well, how did they certify it? Look at the next verse. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You see, as Levitical priests, they were able to go and to say, the Lamb of God, the Savior, Christ the Lord has been born in the city of David, the firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes in preparation for the sacrifice at Passover. Now, his sacrifice wouldn't be a year later. His sacrifice would be 33 years later. But he met the requirements to be the Lamb of God. He followed the example. Isn't God so smart? Look at all the things that he pulled into place. Guys, I'm telling you, if you say, well, the Bible was written by man. No, it wasn't. It was written by 40 men. And somehow all 40 of them were able to pull it all together and all the pieces fit in place. So that the prophecy points to the right place. So that the questions are asking, it all falls right into place. Guys, I'm telling you, those 40 authors didn't write it of themselves. They wrote as God instructed them. And they pulled it all together for us so we could believe. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Unto you a Savior. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. I have a Savior. Do you? This one was certified. This one was qualified. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So as we are celebrating Christ in this season, and we think about all of the pieces throughout thousands of years that God put into place, all of the people, all of the situations God put into place, let's celebrate the Savior. And remember this, just as God put all the pieces in place for the life of Jesus, he's putting things in place for us too. If God can order the steps of so many generations of people, 42 generations, to get to exactly that right spot, can he not order our lives too? Even when nobody, there are things that I still discover as I read the Bible. How about you? There are things in my life I've got no idea what God is doing, but I trust him. And I can't wait till he pulls it all together and shows us his hand. Let's stand. Father, we are still amazed at all that you do so that your plan works, to show us your hand and your heart and your mind, to show us the significance of people that we might have thought were insignificant, and that you show us the significance of our lives. God, I pray that right now you would draw our hearts to you, and that anyone without the assurance of salvation in heaven would right now humble their hearts before you and ask forgiveness through Jesus Christ the Savior, and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. You can pray where you are. From your heart to God's heart. God help me. God forgive me. God reveal yourself to me. God take control of my life. God use my life to make a difference. This is your opportunity. Bless you. Glad you came tonight. Is there anything for dismissed? All hearts and minds are clear. Glad you're here. Hope you'll come back. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and Christmas Eve, 6 p.m. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask if you would, Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?